Coming up on KUCB News, what's the next step for Unalaska's clinic, and how are fishery stocks doing in the Gulf of Alaska? Stay tuned.
Local News is sponsored by Alpha Welding and Boat Repair Incorporated, providing boat repairs and conversions in Unalaska Dutch Harbor for the last 25 years. Our professionals are trained to use heavy-duty equipment, including boom trucks, shears, brakes, a water jet cutting machine, and a punch machine. Our fully equipped metal fabrication welding shop and machine shop are located at 1149 East Broadway. Alpha Welding and Boat Repair can be reached at 581-1785 or 581-2666.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Laura Craigle with some local news on Tuesday, November 7th, 2017. Unalaska has welcomed a handful of new community leaders in the last few months. That includes James Keck, the new executive director at Illilook Family and Health Services. KUCB sat down with Keck to hear how he made his way to Unalaska's clinic. Originally from Washington, he says he got his start serving in the Army.
So I was third generation Army, and I was a medic. I was supposed to, when I graduated high school, go into veterinarian school was kind of my path. I was a Future Farmer of America, and I had a little mini pig farm. I just fell into medicine by accident going into the service, and it just naturally from there, I just kind of grew from assistant in orthopedic surgery, worked in a podiatry clinic. I was stationed in Hawaii the whole time. So then when I got out, went to work for a lab there in Olympia, Washington, and I also went to work at Capital Medical Center as a for-profit health system as a hospital. Took over the rural health clinic in Elma, turned it around. It was doing really good, and then when I first started at Capital with the clinics, I was about $200,000 a year budget, and when I left, I grew it to about 13 practices and about $28 million a year.
That's pretty remarkable growth and a really wide variety of experience on your end.
It was a lot of variety from new starts, takeovers, acquisitions, and that's what really excited me about Unalaska here is I knew they were in trouble, and I get bored easy. I like challenges, and I'm a high-energy person, so it was a perfect opportunity for me.
And now that you've been on the job a few months, what are you focusing on for the clinic?
Well, we're doing almost a full overhaul. Everything from the fee schedule, the fees are really high, the billing practice, they get their first bill and it says delinquent. They do not bill in the primaries or secondaries correct. So looking at all of that, and then we also went to the city council and trying to get some assistance to try to get us over this growing phase of trying to cut things back and try to get the patients back in to get the revenue back up by volume and not by price.
What should folks expect to see once you've finished adjusting the fee scale?
I think we're going to be one of the lowest in Alaska is kind of my goal. I don't want such a high fee schedule that patients are afraid to come see us. I want to make it fair. I want to really make it so we're the number one choice. We got great providers. We got three full-time, and then we have three that come in on a regular basis, so they're known to the community. They provide great service. So instead of patients waiting and going to Anchorage or going back to Seattle because of the price and the issues, I want them to, we want to go to the clinic. We want to support the local clinic.
And James, how long do you plan to stay in Unalaska?
Well, I signed a 2-year contract with an option for a third. My wife's here with me and my kids. I have 5 grown kids at home and 2 grandkids. So like I said, I'm at the phase right now. I'm just trying to fix it. It is something that I've talked to my wife about long term because, I mean, I love fishing. My wife and I and the dogs, we go hiking up through the valleys. And to me, it's just wonderful. The rec center, I've been refereeing some basketball and my house hasn't got egged yet. So I must not be doing too bad of a job, but I love to get out there. I love being in the community and being a part of it. And this is the nicest place and it's real easy to get involved.
That was James Keck, the new executive director at the clinic. Tomorrow we'll hear from Arlie Colvin, the new fire chief at the Unalaska Department of Public Safety. Last month, the North Pacific Fishery Management Council received some shocking news. Pacific cod stocks in the Gulf of Alaska may have declined by as much as 70% over the last 2 years. That estimate is a preliminary figure, but as KBBI's Aaron Bolton reports, it leaves plenty of questions about the future of Alaska cod fishing.
The first question that comes to mind when you hear the number of Pacific cod in the Gulf dropped by about two-thirds is, what happened? Dr. Stephen Barbeau works with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's Fisheries Division and has been trying to answer that question. Barbeau says the issue likely started with warmer water moving into the Gulf in 2014 and sticking around for the next 3 years.
We had what the oceanographers and kind of in the news media have been calling the blob, which was this warm water that was sitting in the Gulf for those 3 years. And it was different than other years in that it went really deep, but it also lasted throughout the winter.
Warmer water temperatures speed up a fish's metabolism, leading them to eat more.
And so what can happen is you can deplete the food source pretty rapidly when the entire ecosystem is ramped up in those warmer temperatures.
With less food around, the size of Pacific cod in the Gulf dropped. NOAA surveys show that cod were the skinniest on record in 2015. But fish didn't just get smaller. Natural mortality rates also skyrocketed for some fairly important age classes of cod. NOAA saw a large influx of cod larvae in 2012, 2013, and 2015, signaling some good fishing seasons over the next 6 years or so. But between warmer water temperatures and the subsequently shrinking food supply, those fish are not showing up, likely accounting for a large portion of the decline. And this is not the first time cod stocks have taken a dive in the Gulf. The fishery saw a substantial decline in the mid-2000s, but Barbeau says this time is different.
The difference between then and now is that we don't see any recruitment coming in. We're hoping 2017 will be good, but we don't have any indication yet. So our surveys for those smaller fish haven't been conducted. They'll be done next year.
Because of that uncertainty, the North Pacific Fishery Management Council has some difficult decisions to make at its meeting in December. The regulatory body made an initial recommendation in October to reduce the total allowable catch in the Gulf by 30%. But Councilmember Buck Lakaitis says the final decision next month could be different.
I think it's just really important that the public understand that that's a preliminary number, but they should also understand that there's a fairly big change coming in the cod resource, and so fishermen, stakeholders, a lot of people will be affected, a lot of industry.
Barbeau's analysis will be reviewed by two advisory bodies prior to the council setting 2018 harvest levels. Fishermen will have a chance to weigh in, but Lakaitis says the council will base its decision on the final analysis.
We don't overrule the science. There won't be any miracles as far as the council doing something other than what the science advisors recommend.
Between the Bering Sea and the Gulf, Pacific cod accounts for Alaska's second largest fishery by volume, bringing in $186 million in 2015. Cod numbers in the Bering Sea are also trending down. Its estimated abundance may have fallen nearly 40%, but the cause of that decline is not directly known. Reporting in Homer, I'm Aaron Bolton.
Meanwhile, this winter will mark the first Tanner crab opening that Kodiak has seen in several years. KMXT's Kayla Jaroche has the story.
Nan Nichols, Alaska Department of Fish and Game Area Management Biologist for the Groundfish, Shellfish, and Dive Fisheries, says the last opening was in 2013. He says ADF&G conducts an extensive trawl survey program between Dutch Harbor and Kodiak, focused on Tanner crab in the Gulf of Alaska.
This year we did 363 stations. About 200 of those are in Kodiak, so quite a few stations around Kodiak to assess Tanner crab abundance. Once we work up those survey results, we compare them to abundance thresholds that are set out in the harvest strategy and regulation, and that gives us guidance as to whether we can proceed with the fishery.
He says abundance levels have now reached the point that the Tanner crab fishery can open again, and ADF&G recently set the guideline harvest levels.
We're looking to target 260,000 pounds from the east side section and 140,000 pounds from the southwest section. And those will be the only two sections that are open this year.
He says the fishery opens January 15th. Meanwhile, the Dungeness crab season, which opened in May and June, closed last week.
We had five vessels participating. It looks like we've wrapped up with about 180,000 pounds of Dungeness across the dock. harvest in Kodiak is pretty variable over the last 10 years. We've had seasons less than 100,000 pounds, and we've had seasons over a million. So this year's kind of right in there, but sort of in the lower portion of what we've seen in the last decade.
Nichols says some of the decrease in participation could be due to this year's good salmon season. He says fishermen may have not felt such a need to turn to Dungeness to supplement their incomes. In Kodiak, I'm Kayla DeRoche.
And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Laura Craigle, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.